All right, today is May 1st, year 2008, and it's the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. We're celebrating. Christ is truly ascended into heaven.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And don't let the Jews lie to you, as I always say. Christ is truly ascended into heaven. I know it first and foremost because I believe it, because the Catholic faith teaches it and the Catholic Church teaches it. And because God Himself, when you put faith in Him, shows Himself to you as He showed Himself to us many times and in many ways. Christ is truly ascended. Now, we're going to talk about some of the events in which Jesus Christ first prophesied to the apostles, not only that He was going to resurrect from the dead, but also that He was going to ascend into heaven. Because you've got to realize there's certain prophecies too in there where you may think the apostles, and you're going to see this here, may have thought that after He rose from the dead, He wasn't going to go to heaven, but He was going to stay on earth and then institute the temporal kingship of Christ. Sort of like that would be the second coming. His first coming would have been His only coming. And then when He rose from the dead in the flesh, He wouldn't have went to heaven. He was going to stay on earth and He was going to then institute and go around conquering the temporal kingdom. But that wasn't so. That some of the apostles were thinking that. And that's why when they saw Jesus Christ going up to heaven on a cloud, they were almost wondering, still looking up to heaven. And the angel had to come and say, why are you looking up there? He went into heaven. He'll come back later, but he went into heaven. He didn't just, like, he's saying, not like just Elijah didn't go into heaven. Heaven, you know, he just went into this, where the birds fly, heaven. We're going to get into the different levels of heaven. But Jesus was also telling the apostles that I'm going to go back up to heaven, because I came down from heaven. And the first thing, he tells the Jews this even, well, first he's just telling the Jews where he came from, you know. And this is in John 8, 23 to 25, and it says, the Jews asked Jesus, who are you? Where you come from? Who are you? And Jesus said to them, to the apostate Jews, it says the unbelieving Jews, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Okay, so he's telling them that he's from above. That's the also passage where they come and say, who art thou to him? And Jesus says, I am the beginning. Who speaketh unto you, that refers to Micah 5:2, when it says the Messiah is going to be from the beginning, which means he's God. So he's also telling them, these apostate Jews, I came from heaven. All right, and then he's talking in here in John 6, 61 to 63, it says, many therefore of his disciples hearing it said, this saying is hard, and who can hear it about the Holy Eucharist? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured, he said to them, does this scandalize you? If then you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. He's telling them, you're going to see me ascend up where I was before. You're going to see me ascend into heaven. And then he's going to say, and that's also something too, just more proof of that he's God and fulfilling. Oh, they knew he was God after he resurrected from the dead. They knew it, you know. That was the crowning proof that he is God, you know. And they had to believe it just on that alone, whether he ascended into heaven or not. But he's telling them here, yeah, but I'm going to go back to heaven too. And it says in John 3, he even was telling them certain things about, you know, I'm with you for a little bit, then I'm going to be gone for all. And they could have thought that I'm going to be with you, I'm going to be gone. So he was gone for 3 days when he died, then he rose again and was with them. They didn't really know for sure if he was going to go back up to heaven. But he's telling them here he is. John 3:12-13. If I have spoken to you earthly things, you believe not. But how will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. So, okay, so he's talking about he's going to ascend back up in heaven. That's another dogma too. In his divinity, Jesus was always in heaven. But in his humanity, he was not always in heaven. His humanity was created in time. So he took his humanity and soul up into heaven. That was where he opened the gates of heaven to mankind. But his divinity was always in heaven, even when he was on earth. Okay, but he's telling the apostles, I am going to go back up here. I'm going to ascend back up to heaven. Then there's really two passages in the Bible that speak of the ascension, only two in the Gospel. There's three really in the book of Acts, but two Gospels. Mark 16:19, which we read today, where it says, and the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God. And then in Luke 24:51, where it says, and it came to pass, whilst he blessed them, he departed from them and was carried up into heaven. And he was carried up into heaven on Mount Olivet. We get a little more of these facts when St. Paul talks about it in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 8 to 12, which we also read today. And this is the part where you get the idea of the apostles wondering, you know, hey, where's he going? Hey, come back. Where's he going? I thought the kingdom's going to come now even. That's why the angels had to, hey, look, he went up to heaven. You know, he'll come back, but Right now, he's going to be up in heaven for a while. So we read in the book of Acts chapter 1, 8 to 12, it says, "But you shall receive the..." Jesus is talking to the apostles. "But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even unto the uttermost parts of the earth." He's now telling them, "I'm not going to be with you. You guys are going to be the ones who are going to go out there. That's why I meet Peter, the Pope, the head of the church, because you need to have a head. Peter's now the boss. And you're the ones who are going to now have to go out and spread my word." He's telling them right before he says. He says, "And when he had said these things, and they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them with in white garments, who also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven shall so come, as you have seen him going into heaven.' Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount that is called Olivet, which is nigh Jerusalem within a Sabbath day's journey." Now we know this took place on Mount Olivet. And he's saying he's going to come back, but right now you guys got to go out and do your business. When Christ went up to heaven, he's showing the apostles their true home. Now that you want to get to Christ, you've got to keep your eyes in total concentration on heaven. Heaven, the heavenly kingdom. That's where all joy and happiness and all true life comes in. You're still pilgrims here. Christ didn't determine himself to stay on earth at that time and bring the kingdom at that time. This was the first step in bringing his kingdom. And that step was to convert the hearts of men before he converts the temporal world. So it was first changing the hearts of men. Later on, he's going to come. That's going to be his second coming. And that's the angels. And he'll come back again. But it's not now. You guys got to go about the business that God has shown you. And there's other things that we talk about here. Him being taken up into a cloud. Okay, that proves several things. That proves he's God. Because God generally appeared to people when he spoke to them in a cloud. You see, read that throughout the whole Bible. He's always appearing in a cloud, and God is speaking through the cloud because he doesn't want man to look upon him. Because if any man ever looked upon the face of God in our fallen nature with our concupiscent body, we would die. You can't. You cannot look upon that. Maybe the Blessed Mother is the only one that could look upon the face of God and not die. But men in original sin, even if they're in a state of grace, us Catholics, if we're in a state of grace even right now, which we all hope we are, we can't look upon the face of God because our concupiscent body is still infected with concupiscence and the venom of original sin. And we can't bear to look at his face. So every time God shows himself, he's coming in a cloud. We see that in the Transfiguration. Who's speaking out of the cloud? God's speaking out of the cloud to Peter and John and James, and he's saying, "This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And it also means also, the other thing about the cloud is that he's going up into heaven. Because every time God came down to speak to man, he came down and was shrouded in a cloud, and therefore he went back up in a cloud too. So they're showing that this cloud is a symbol that he's God, and that he's going back up to heaven. But why did a cloud receive him? This too was a sure sign that he went up to heaven. Not fire, as in the case of Elijah, nor fiery chariot, but a cloud received him, which was a symbol of heaven, as the prophet says, "Who maketh the clouds his chariot?" It is of the Father himself that this is said. Therefore he said, "On a cloud," in the symbol, he would say, of the divine power, for no other power is seen to appear on a cloud. For here again, what another prophet says, "The Lord sitteth upon a light cloud," Isaiah 29:1. He was taken up. Already, it has been shown that he went up into heaven. Clouds and darkness are under his feet. That's mentioned in Psalms. The book of Psalms 18:9, and another psalm here, he says, "Sayeth that to Scripture, for this is declared by the expression, and a cloud received him, the Lord of heaven." Now, he's talking about here on also Elijah didn't go into heaven. He only went into the heaven where the birds dwell and where you can breathe, and he was brought back down to earth, and he died like other men. Now, that brings us to the fact that you're talking about, we're going to get into that later in a second, that there's three different heavens. St. Paul, as you recall in 2 Corinthians 12:2, talks about the heavens where God resides and where his angels and saints are residing right now, which is totally outside of this universe. The first heaven is the heaven where the birds dwell, and where humans can go where there's oxygen. The second heaven they refer to where the stars and the moon and the sun exists. The rest of the universe outside of where there's oxygen. The third heaven is the heaven where God resides, which is outside of the whole universe. As I mentioned to these people many times before, I will not do that now. Maybe I'll get a sermon on that. Heaven is completely outside of the whole universe. So if ever God ever allowed mankind to reach the end of the universe, you would find out that God is outside of that, okay? And we're really like a big vat, a big ball floating in a vat of water, really. He'd have to then go through water and then come out of that water to get to God. I'm not going to talk about that now. But we do know that the third heaven is not where the suns and the moons and the stars are. God's way, way out of that. He's so far above that if these people ever knew, and there's no way mankind can ever get there. God's letting mankind flatter himself by thinking he's making some advances by going up into space a little bit. That's not, what is that? That's nothing. You know, what is and the people who are doing it for just pure astronomical reasons, there's no problem with that. But the ones that are going up there with the intention that they're going to find God and they're going to find out another answer of creation other than what God told us in the book of Genesis, then they're abominations. They're apostates and they're unbelievers, they're infidels, and this is an abomination. It's like when they built the Tower of Babel. So there's three levels. Heaven of heaven is the heaven where Jesus Christ went. He passed through the two heavens and he went to the third heaven. St. Paul speaks about the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12:2. He says, I know a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in body I know not, or out of body I know not. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. That's the heaven of heavens. And we read in Deuteronomy read about this. Deuteronomy 10:14. Behold, heaven is the Lord's, and the heaven of heaven. Okay, behold, the heaven is the Lord thy God and the heaven of heaven, the earth and all things that are therein. Now the commentary on that says, the scripture mentions the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12:2, where the majesty of God most gloriously appears. The second is the region of the stars, and the first is the atmosphere where the birds and the clouds move about. Now we read on the commentary in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4, it says, in order to understand the language of the apostle, we must observe that the Hebrews distinguished three different heavens. The first comprised the air, the clouds, and as far as the fixed stars. The second included all the fixed stars, and the third was the abode of the angels. This first is called, in Scripture, the heavens. The second, the firmament, and the third, the heaven of heavens. So there's three. Now, you may even want to include a minor fourth part in there. You might say the atmosphere where there's no oxygen before you get into the outer space, which is, I think, below the Van Allen belt where the satellites are. They lumped all that in together with the stars and the moon and all that, even though that is a distinct part. So you can even say there's four, if you want, heavens. You can, but that part where there's no atmosphere, man cannot go. So they lumped that in together where the sun and the moon and all the stars are. So there's three heavens. Jesus went up into the heaven of heavens. We're going to end this sermon too, speaking about how beautiful and glorious heaven is, the true heaven where our Lord lives in our true home, which is beyond any human words or imagination. We can try our best, even though we cannot really describe heaven the way it is. We should try and put out our best effort to try, but even then we fall way short. This is very easy as for us to describe hell. That's easy for us. Because we're living, this is a little prefigurement of hell on earth when you look at the way the people behave. When you look at the way they lie and they cheat and they steal and they rob and all their lousy, filthy, rebellious ways. So it's easy for us to speak about hell, but harder for us to understand how great heaven is. But nevertheless, we should still contemplate upon it and try to understand it as best we could. So I'm going to end the sermon, not now, but in a second, with St. Augustine speaking about life everlasting. He wrote a prayer which is so beautiful that describes heaven. We're going to end it on that. But we're going to go into the one verse where it talks about, where I told you about Acts 1, where it says, you know, the angel comes up to the apostle and says, why are you looking up to heaven? Get out about your business. But always keep your eye on heaven, because that's where your true home is. It even makes the apostles realize there really are pilgrims. Christ is not going to make the temporal kingdom right now. We don't know when he's going to do it. He told us several things have to happen even before it happens. This is all coming to their mind. There has to be wars and rumors of wars. There has to be famines. There has to be earthquakes. You have to preach the word first. There has to be a great apostasy. And so then you're sitting down going, well, let's go out and do the work that we got to do. And keep your eyes towards heaven, because that's our true home. And it also helps them to understand their real home. He says, you can't come with me now, but you will follow later after. That's what gives us, that's our hope. That's our joy. That's why when people come around and tell us and try to threaten us with, they said these weak posts before Vatican II even, they said Pius XII, and they threatened them with the nuclear bomb. We're going to drop a bomb on the Vatican. What do I care if you blow up this earth? This ain't my home. If you ever knew what my real home is, this is a dung heap compared to the heavens of heavens where God resides with his angels and saints. Go ahead and blow it up and do me a favor. Blow me up with it too, because that's my ticket home. That's how we get home, when you kill me. If I'm a good Catholic, that's how I get home. So blow the whole earth up. What do I care? You're only going to be sending yourselves down into hell. And guess what? You ain't going to escape the earth anyway, because God's not going to allow you to blow the earth up. That's another issue. I don't care if he allowed it. Our point is, our true home is in heaven, and the apostles are looking at this. They're going, wow, he says we're going to follow him up this hill. What do we got to lose? Come on. I mean, this earth is not what it's all about. And God's showing them that. Your true home is in heaven, and I'm up there with my flesh even now. The flesh that you have. The souls that you have, you're going to be up there if you just stay faithful with me. So then you should fear nothing of this world. This world is passing away. Our Lord said it. He's going to burn it up with fire. But now, he said he's going to come back too. There's some interesting commentaries on here. And we see that he left at Mount Olivet. But I'll read the commentary in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. So shall he come as you have seen him going, that he ascended by his own power. For so will he come by his own power to judge the world. Jesus Christ shall come on the last day in the same body, in the same majesty, to judge the living and the dead. This he had likewise promised in more than one place of the gospel, speaking it of vengeance, which he will exercise on the city of Jerusalem. Oh, I thought that this current day Jerusalem is supposed to be blessed, and these apostate Jews are God's chosen people. The complete opposite. They are absolute apostates and reprobates and rebels against God who are bringing Antichrist to power. And they're bringing the over there in Jerusalem, it's the anti-Jerusalem. It's the anti-Israel. It's the Israel, when our Lord said to the Jews, I come in my own name, you receive me, not another will come in his own name, him you shall receive. In John 5:43, they're preparing the road for the Antichrist. The Jerusalem you see over there, and the devil always likes to try to go before God and mimic what he's doing. So he's trying to make it appear that it's going to be holy because it's in the holy city of Jerusalem. He's going to build a temple. The temple one time was holy, but that's not a holy temple. Jerusalem now, right now, is not holy because it's occupied by apostates. And the Antichrist is going to come to power in that city. And Jesus is going to come back and destroy Jerusalem. That Jerusalem. And how do we know this? Where is the true heavenly Jerusalem going to become? Jerusalem, where it's located now, is going to be eternal. And it is going to be the place where even the Jews are going to have the eternal homeland. But where is the next Jerusalem coming from that's holy and blessed by God? It's coming from heaven. Read the book Apocalypse, chapter 20 or 21. John talks about the heavenly Jerusalem coming down from heaven, landing upon a new earth. So what you're looking over there is going to be destroyed by Christ. He's going to rip it to pieces. And all these stupid, dummy, Christian so-called Zionists are over there supporting the state of Israel, which is an abomination of desolation in a place where it does not belong. And they're being duped because of their own heresies and apostasies and faithlessness against God. Once they left the Catholic Church, they believe all stupid things. It's not even logical according to what they believe in to be supporting these Jews who deny Christ, who are looking for the coming of the Antichrist. Who's going to bring the Antichrist to power if it's not them? Who is the best candidate? Our Lord told us already anyway, okay? So here's talking about, in the Catholic commentaries, Jesus is going to come a second time to destroy Jerusalem. Many other ancients have believed that the Son of God will appear again on Mount Olivet, and that all people shall be assembled to judgment. The marks of the feet of our Savior are imprinted in the place on which he rose to heaven, and St. Augustine informs us that many in his time went to Judea to venerate these sacred marks. In the time of Constantine the Great, the Empress Helen built a church in that place, okay? So Christ is going to return in the same place where he went up. He's going to destroy that. He's going to destroy what everybody thinks is going to be the holy city, but it's really the city of the Antichrist. All the evil people are going to love it. Because at that point, as I tell all these people, Rome's already going to be destroyed. The Vatican City is going to be turned into a parking lot. And so the only thing that's going to be left visible and that you may see powerful through the whole world is the Antichrist kingdom. So people naturally, because of their evil inclinations, want to believe that anyway. They're going to say, this must be of God. Look it, he controls the whole world. But then if you logically think, if you say, I would say to them, the mere fact that the Antichrist controls almost the whole world and he's originating his power out of one area and he's the top dog, does that mean that the true God serves him? Then why didn't you listen to the Catholic Church when she was the top dog? When she had the Pope ruling the world? If the mere fact of just one man rule with power exerted throughout the world means everything, that it certainly does mean something because Christ said his church is going to spread like that. But our Christ also said his church is going to, people in his church are going to fall away, so there's going to be hardly any Catholics left. So in other words, that's not sufficient proof just to follow the Antichrist because he controls almost the whole world and one man's ruling with power. And when you look at the way he lives, anybody who even, I firmly believe this, who has goodwill, they're not Catholic yet, but they're of goodwill and they want to obey the natural world, they're going to look at this monster come to power. They're going to say, I don't care how much power this guy appears to have or how much territory he controls, he's a monster. Look at the United States. The United States is already showing us. Who could make war against this steel beast? Nobody. And she spreads her fornications and her homosexuality and her feminism over the whole world. How could this be of God? How could this be a godly kingdom? Are you? Anybody who has even a little goodwill can notice what the United States is spreading and what she practices in her own country is filthy and disgusting. Completely rebellious against God. So now we're going to end up with St. Augustine talking about our true home so everybody can get their focus off of this evil world that is destined to fall and get their eyes upon the true God, the Catholic God, and his teachings Okay? And your job in life is to find out who that true God is, and I'm here to tell you who He is and make your job a lot easier. You just go to my website and read, and I'm presenting the true Catholic faith that's been denied, not just since Vatican II, but for a long time. There's been bad books with imprimaturs. We didn't get into this mess overnight. So this has been going on for a long time. The way you keep your eyes on heaven is through the Catholic Church and her dogmatic teachings on faith and morals and her good disciplinary laws. And this is how you keep your eyes on heaven. Now, here's a beautiful, this is one of my favorite descriptions. I think St. Augustine did as great a job as anybody can do on this prayer describing heaven. And it's called Life Everlasting. As a hart panteth after the fountain of waters, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul hath thirsted after the strong living God. When shall I come and appear before the face of God? O thou fountain of life, thou spring of living waters, when shall I pass from this desert, pathless, barren land to the waters of thy sweetness, to see thy beauty and thy glory, and to slack my soul's thirst at the gushing streams of thy love? I thirst, O Lord, thou art the fountain of life. Give thou me to drink. I thirst, O my God. I thirst for thee and living God. O, when shall I come and appear before thy face? Shall I in very deed see that day of joy and gladness, that day which the Lord hath made, that we may rejoice and be glad in it? O bright and glorious day, which knoweth no evening, whose sun shall no more go down, in which I shall hear the voice of praise, the voice of joy and thanksgiving, the voice saying unto thee, enter into the joy of thy Lord, thy God, where are things great and unsearchable, and wonderful things without number. Enter into the joy wherein is no sorrow, but untroubled gladness, wherein is all manner of good, and no manner of thing that is evil, where all thine heart's desires shall be satisfied, and all thou fearest and hatest enemies shall not enter, nor any breath of temptation shall come near thee, where is supreme and settled security, and tranquil joy, and joyful happiness, and a happy eternity, and eternal blessedness, the blessed Trinity, and the unity of the Trinity, the Godhead in unity, the blissful vision of the Godhead, the joy of the Lord. O joy upon joy, joy transcending all joys, when shall I enter into thee and behold my Lord, whose dwelling is in thee? I shall go thither and see this great sight. And now, what keepeth me back? Woe is me that my sojourning is prolonged. How long, O Lord, shall it be said to me, wait, wait yet a while? Come, O Lord, delay no longer. Come, Lord Jesus, and visit us in peace. Come and bring forth thy captives from their dungeons, that they may praise thee with a perfect heart. Come, thou desire of all nations, show thy face, and we shall be saved. Come, my light, my Redeemer, bring my soul out of prison, that it may give thanks to thy name. Blessed art they who have passed over the great and wide sea to the eternal shore, and are now blessed in their desired rest. Blessed are they who have escaped from all evils and are secure of their unfading glory in thee, thou kingdom of blessedness. How long shall I be tossed about on the waves of this mortal life, crying unto thee, O Lord God, while thou hearest me not? Hear me, O Lord, from this great and wide ocean, and bring me into the everlasting haven. O everlasting kingdom, kingdom of endless ages, whereon rests the untroubled light and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, where the souls of the saints are at rest, and everlasting joy is upon their heads, and sorrow and sighing have fled away. O how glorious is the kingdom in which all thy saints reign with thee, O Lord, clothed with light as with a garment, and having on their head a crown of precious stones. For there is infinite, unfading joy, gladness without sorrow, health without a pang, life without toil, light without darkness, life without death. There the vigor of age knows no decay, and beauty withers not, nor doth love grow cold, nor joy wane away. For there we look evermore upon the face of the Lord God of hosts. O Christ, our refuge and strength, thou hope of mankind, thou whose light shineth from afar upon the dark clouds which hang around us, behold thy redeemed ones cry unto thee, thy banished ones whom thou hast redeemed with thine own most precious blood. Hear us, O God, our Savior, thou who art the hope of all the ends of the earth and those that are afar off on the wide sea. We are tossed about on the wild and raging waves in the dark night, and thou standest on the everlasting shore. dost behold our sore peril. Save us for thy name's sake. Guide us amidst the shoals and quicksand, which beset all our course, and so bring us in safety to that haven where we desire to be. Amen. Praise God. And that's where our Lord Jesus Christ entered. That's where he went. And that's what waits us. If we sacrifice, and everything in this world we got to look at as dung compared to the true God. If anybody ever tries to make us love anything, create it. Anything in this world more than God, turn your way, eyes and everything away from it. Because this, you're only going to live for so many years on this earth. And when you die, your soul is eternal. It's going to either be in heaven for all eternity or hell. And hell is the complete opposite of what you just read here. The choice is yours. You have a free will. The only way you're going to get to heaven is coming into the true Catholic Church, obey all of God's Catholic commandments as taught by His Catholic Church. And right now, the only place I know where you're going to learn that faith is on my website. I'm warning you people again, and I just gave you a glimpse of what awaits people in heaven. This earth is nothing compared to the joys in heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Guys are sublime.
That to me, when I first read that, oh man, I don't know if you could do a better description than that. I mean, you may be able to equal it, but I'll tell you something. St. Augustine reached it. He reached it there. I don't know if you can do better than that. Now, that was one of my, when I was converting it, it just was wonderful. Every time I read that, it kept my eyes, you know, unloaded. The earth meant nothing after that. You read that and you go, wow. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. It can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.